And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. And I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Well, so we're going to jump into number one of the triple dipper here. And I call this whole section, spend it like you got it. That's what the Biden administration wants to do. They desperately want to spend that which they do not have. Now, I will tell you, as a fiscal conservative, I am not a fan of deficit spending, ever. But I'm also not a fan of watching our government go into default. So what am I talking about? I mean, I'm going to overly simplify this, all right? And some of y'all are more astute at this than I could ever be. But just for the benefit of the general discussion, let me just kind of lay some groundwork. The national debt. What is that? Well, any of you who've ever owned a business probably had a line of credit. You had a line of credit that you drew from to keep what we call the float. You know, you've got your receivables are slow coming in for whatever reason because your client didn't pay the bill or you didn't get that, you know, something paid for. And you got your own bills to pay for. You got to keep the lights turned on, got to pay the staff. So that line of credit is something you draw from with the sincere hope that what you're going to do is turn back around. And as soon as your receivables get caught up, you're going to be able to pay that back down. It's a line of credit. It's an extension from the bank to help you through. Well, that's one version of what I would call deficit spending. But it's deficit spending that has a reasonable tone to it. It's the kind that says, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to because we have current operations that have to be met. Then there's the other kind. Then there's the kind where you over-leverage everything you've got. I knew one guy that had a business, and it was in a nice building. And he used that building as collateral to get a loan for things that were unrelated to the business. Now the business was doubly leveraged. Not only did he have a building that he was, you know, having to maintain for the business, but the business did not have the benefit of the collateral anymore, and it was being held by something else that had debt attached to it that he'd already used the money for. And then he decided he wanted more stuff. He just wanted more stuff. He didn't need it. And so he borrowed more money to begin to pay in, to do things that weren't necessarily necessary. They were just wants, not needs. And so what he's doing is he's borrowing money against the idea of doing things that weren't really necessary. They were just things he was hoping to be able to do, things he really kind of wanted to have. And when you get into that, what you're doing then is you're incurring potentially bad debt. At that point, his revenues were exceeding, his output was exceeding his input. That's where we are with the national debt. And by the way, it's been a bipartisan issue. So I can lay this at the feet of Joe Biden right now, certainly, because he's incurred more debt in the last 2 years than most presidents in 8 years would do. But that being said, it's been a bipartisan issue. Overspending, finding neat ideas of ways to buy people's votes, doing stuff that government doesn't necessarily have to do. I mean, there are true functions of government. I totally get that. Totally get that. In fact, I support that. Even Jesus said, you know, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, meaning that he acknowledged authority in terms of governance. But there's also a time and a place where you have to look at it and go, man, y'all are out of whack. I mean, why are you doing this when your charter is really to do that? And you're just incurring more debt that future generations have to pay off. Right now, we're in a position where the actual debt service, meaning the amount we have to pay just to keep it, kind of like your credit card comes with a bill, and it'll have the minimum payment you have to make because your interest rate is required to be paid off every single month. So you can make that minimum payment, but the bulk of it never really goes down because all you're doing is making the minimum payment. You're not paying down the principal. Well, if you look at what we're doing at the national level, that's exactly what's happening. We're in a place right now where just to service the debt costs more than the average GDP of most nations in the world. That's pretty epic level debt. Where does that debt come from? How do we get that debt? A lot of it comes from bonds. A lot of it comes from international banking. A lot of it comes from places where even some of our enemies hold some of our debt. Well, okay, but in the real world, what if somebody gets out of hand and made bad mistakes? You know, they thought they had a good thing going, it didn't pan out, and now they're stuck with the debt. They can always file for bankruptcy, right? Well, they can. But everything has second and third order effects. And I don't know that you can bankrupt a nation per se in the official capacity, but I've seen right here in Alabama, we had Jefferson County go through the largest municipal bankruptcy in the history of the United States, if I'm not mistaken. And what that happens then is it lowers your credit rating as a municipality, or in this case, as a nation. It drops down your ability to leverage on the world stage for international trade. It lowers the trust people have in you when you say that you can do a thing on the world stage, and now they wonder if you really can. It also minimizes your capacity to service existing obligations. So here's the deal. That national debt, it's a lot like a contract. It is something that we agreed to do. We put the good name of the United States on it. If we don't pay it, then technically we're in breach. So what do you do? Well, if you're at home and you're trying to avoid bankruptcy, but your credit card's out of control, then you know for a fact that you've got to reduce some other spending. To be responsible, you got to say, you know what, honey, we're not going out to dinner for a month. We're going to gather up some extra money, and we're going to put it on that credit card. And we're going to get that sucker knocked down. And we're going to take our we're not going on vacation this year. We're going to take the money we would have spent going to Disney or Six Flags or wherever, or going to the beach. We're going to take that extra couple $1,000s, and we're going to put it on that credit card. And we're going to get it knocked down. So what you're doing is you're reducing your spend in order to pay off your debt. And that's what the Republicans in D.C. are asking for right now. The Republicans in D.C., Kevin McCarthy leading the charge on this, have not said, we will not honor our obligations. They've not. In fact, most of them are saying, and I don't disagree, that perhaps the thing to do is start being responsible with our spending by cutting back on some of the ridiculous things we signed up for, Democrats signed up for in recent years. The Inflation Reduction Act, with things to fix racist roads and put charging stations along the highways. And, you know, how many things have we authorized the expenditure for in recent years that we don't have any business doing because we don't have the money to do it? So they borrow the money to do it. And now we're in the $32 trillion range in terms of our debt. Well, so what we got right now is a head-to-head between Republicans who are holding the line and the Biden administration, who wants to spend more money. They desperately want to. Why? Because their policies suck. And the only thing they've got right now is the ability to buy votes. If we can buy a new bridge in that city where they're kind of like on the margins about how they're going to vote, we can then trump what we did for them. Whoop, whoop. Or if we can fix those racist roads, then we can throw down the race card and fix a road all at the same time. Whoop, whoop. Well, that's what they're doing. They're also pandering to their base. Well, you know, the people who are rabid about, you know, having windmills, we're going to build some more windmills. I don't care if it kills whales. Let's build some more windmills. Then they'll vote for us again. Whoop, whoop. And that's what's happening. So the Republicans are saying, look, we get it. We're willing to respect the fact that we have a contract that says pay your debt. And we don't want the good name of the U.S. to go under. But at the same time, Mr. President, you can't keep buying windmills and fixing racist roads right now. You have got to start getting some of the spending under control. So if you'll agree to limit spending, we'll work with you on passing a bill because it requires congressional authorization. That's why there's a fight, because they have hit the limits. It's like if you had a credit card and that credit card was maxed out. Everybody who's been in that position before knows that sometimes you can call your credit card company and say, you know, I lost my job, COVID, I was out of work, or whatever the case may be. I'm having a hard time. Could you extend the payment plan and perhaps even extend me a little extra credit so that I've got margin to work in? They have to authorize it before it can happen. Right now, by law, we are capped at where our national debt can be. That being said, the Republicans are saying, look, we'll work with you, Mr. President. We'll raise the debt limit to cover the obligations that you Democrats got us into this past couple of years. But you've got to start cutting some spending or we're not going to do it. And ta-da, that's why we're having a debt ceiling fight and how it's going. Story on thehill.com came out earlier this month, and it's pretty instructive. It says the Treasury Department, by the early part of June, 1st of June, we don't know yet for sure, may have to take extraordinary measures to keep the nation from defaulting on its debt. And it says, members on both sides have expressed confidence that they will strike a deal in time to raise the debt limit which caps how the money the Treasury can owe to other countries' bills is handled. But here's what can happen if they fail, they say. And so here's where we get into, I don't know, and I want to ask the congressman. What about entitlements? For those who live on Social Security or veterans benefits, what happens? That's your government paycheck, right? That's the thing that, whether we like entitlements or not, that's the thing that some people believe they earned over time, and truthfully they have, because they paid into the system or they have a VA disability or something like that. What happens to those? Well, this particular article says Social Security and other benefits and pay could be delayed. Experts warn that a default could mean trouble for individuals relying on a check from the government. And I don't know the answer to that question. I think those are obligations that are required to be met already by law, and the money was appropriated. However, they say here that basically the Treasury has to receive the funds to make those payments. The other thing we look at is, what will it do to interest rates? What will happen to the markets? They're saying right now that a default could raise interest rates. So those who are looking to buy a house, or how much are you paying on your credit card right now, or if you have a variable rate on your mortgage, all those things could be potentially impacted. I don't know. What I'm saying is the studies indicate that we're in a little bit of a dicey situation, a place that we haven't truly been before. There's never been this much of an effort to try and stave off default at the 11th hour. And so we're kind of watching and waiting. It also says, too, the markets could take a hit, with researchers even seeing a greater risk in what possible default could mean for financial markets here and abroad, that, you know, that the kind that you know, get in there and they buy up futures and they try to hedge the market and see what's what in advance of it and predict the outcomes. Well, you're going to have people selling off, trying to get out of what they would call high risk. All those things are happening. All those things are happening right now. And we'll have Congressman Adderholt on here in about 15 minutes, and we'll talk through it with him. But when we come back, though, I'm going to tell you, as a conservative, I believe McCarthy has to hold the line. This is an important, important, important moment. This is a moment with a line in the sand. And by the way, we barely got a majority in the House, but we got enough to get it done. And I'll tell you what some of them are saying right now up in D.C. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. I'm going to go to some text messages here in a minute, but I see I got a caller on the line. Jeff Rowe from Indiana is on the road and calling in. How you doing, bud?
Doing good, Phil.
Good. What's your thoughts, man?
Why did we even talk about a debt ceiling when hell, the roof is gone already? I mean, there is no ceiling. There has never been a ceiling. It's like all these other things. It's like, if you're not going to put any teeth into it and stand your ground and say, no, this is it. We're not raising the debt ceiling anymore. Live within your means, or raise the taxes, and then, you know, do something that's politically malfeasant, I guess you'd say, to a politician.
Well, so you're of the mind that we need to go ahead and let it default just to make that point. Is that right?
Well, put the fear of God in them. Say, you know, you can either pull back spending from other programs and put the money back in and change the budget, or the, you know, this is it. You know, you make it's like anything else. In your household and everything, you've got a budget or whatever, and if you don't meet that budget and you've got a debt ceiling, what would you do? You may have to cancel your HBO, or you might have to cancel your internet, or do a lot of other things, but you'll have to live within your means, and that's the trouble. We're not living within our means.
I agree.
But eventually, one day, whenever printing money don't work, and the dollar is worth about a half of a cent, and it costs $1,000 for a loaf of bread, then maybe people wake up.
Well, I agree. And then you look at it and go, okay, at what point do we also wind up seeing ourselves getting at odds with our allies, people who had loaned us money and then we didn't repay it, and then when we need them on the battlefield, they don't want to come help because we stiffed them? And that's the other thing that's at risk right here is our international, not only our reputation, but our alliances. And then truthfully, what happens if you default on something that China owns, you know? China says, hey, you owe us like, you know, $500 billion and we want it yesterday. And they call in their marker. What do we do? Go to war or just let it ride? And it's a mess, man.
Well, what's the alternative? What's going to happen when the United States economy collapses? What do you think is going to happen to the world then?
Well, it's, you know, that's all the more reason to make sure we know how to grow our own food, right?
Exactly. But and it's going to happen. It's inevitable because nobody has the fortitude to say no. And these politicians just keep, you know, we've really got a bad system. It's like, you know, give me something and I'll give you some votes. And everything's vote buying, basically.
Get them an Obama phone. Got to have that Obama phone, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like I say, these politicians are into giving people what they want, just kind of like the teachers union down here. It's you know, they've got some Republicans going that route now, I guess, because that's where the money comes from. It's where the votes come from.
Well,
sometimes the votes aren't right.
We'll see how it plays out, brother. We'll have the congressman on here in a minute and talk to him about it. But let me run, man. I got to touch on a couple things before we get to the top of the hour. All right.
Have a great one, Phil.
You too, buddy. Boomer, you just put a story up on the board for me to see. Did that just happen?
Just happened, yeah.
So tell me, what you got?
It was actually our cat wrangler that just sent it to us. But
really?
Yeah, on AL.com, they just posted a story. Alabama lawmakers approve loan bill for Birmingham Southern
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to do a loan. That bill didn't even get – they must have greased that bill and just skidded it through as fast as they could for anybody to pay attention.
That's crazy.
And so it's already passed through both the House and the Senate? What the frick, man? So basically, Senate Bill 278 would establish the Distressed Institutions of Higher Education Revolving Loan Program Fund. So we don't have any tax relief for citizens, but a college campus that blew by its own admission – blew its own accounting procedures, built infrastructure that it didn't need, went green on their dormitories, and then got into debt, we're going to give them a bailout.
Yep.
Well, I know what I'm going to be doing a show segment on pretty soon.
Yes.
God almighty.
Wow.
Okay, well, more to come on that one, folks. There's a breaking news story for you. I'll tell you too, the text lines have also blown up and I can't even get to them. I had somebody new in there. I was going to say hello to who was a new one, Boone. We had somebody brand spanking new.
Steve.
There he is. Steve S from Iron City, Tennessee. So brand spanking new in the text line. Thank you for that. And, wow. Allison from Madison says, I bet these knuckleheads don't manage their own households like they do taxpayers' money. Nope. I bet they don't. Jeff from Hazel Green. Says, hey, Phil, can I borrow $20? I only have $20, and I want $40 worth of crack. Raven from Russellville says, how about we stop sending money to countries that are not our allies? I agree with that. Tyler from Huntsville says, McCarthy better hold that line and realize the Democrats are like toddlers. If you give in to their cries, they'll know all they have to do is cry to get what they want. That's why Republicans have lost so much, because instead of fighting, they give in and claim the high road. Well, we'll see how it goes, Tyler. Appreciate your text, man. All right, coming up next, because I've got confirmation that Congressman Robert Adderholt's calling in momentarily. We'll ask him what he thinks about the negotiations going on in D.C. Does he see an answer coming in the next few days? And by the way, what is the actual default date? Because you know what's interesting? They have never labeled it. They have never said, and here's the day we default. I mean, at least your credit card company gives you a date, right? I don't think we've got that here yet. Well, all right, more to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.